It's Thursday, when we always take a few minutes to read from your letters. We got lots of mail this week about the audio diary of Kay Fulton, whose brother was killed in the Oklahoma City bombing. Ms. Fulton attended the execution of Timothy McVeigh 1 year ago. After 9/11, she went to New York to support the families of the people killed in the World Trade Center attacks.
Kara Recker of Berea, Kentucky wrote, "I did not lose any friends or loved ones in either the September 11th attacks or the Oklahoma City bombing, so Ms. Fulton's account gave me new insights into both tragedies. I appreciate the opportunity to have a more personal view of both terrorist attacks."
But other listeners agreed with Robert Takach of Juneau, Alaska. "Your report was a chronicle of revenge masquerading as justice. Ms. Fulton's desire to see fear in Timothy McVeigh's eyes is sad and at least a little sick. The broadcast was a continuation of the promotion of victimhood as celebrity, which far too many of my fellow citizens have assumed for themselves since September 11.
There was also a big reaction to Robert Siegel's report on hotels and motels that advertise themselves as American-owned.
Most of your notes echoed this one by Greg Flanders of Culver City, California. "Thank you for providing the most chilling portrait of the banality of racism I have ever heard. I now know to look for the American-owned sign in the window of any hotel in which I think of staying and to avoid hotels that show them."
But some listeners defended the practice. Mary Reagan of Cookeville, Tennessee writes, "Little did I realize that my own parents were about to encounter a foreign-owned motel from hell, an extensive series of service screw-ups from the front desk staff to maintenance personnel to the cleaning staff, many of whom spoke no English, made their stay frustrating, aggravating, and, of course, made them swear, never again."
Catherine Byerline of Moscow, Idaho, thanked us for our question and answer segment on India and Pakistan and their dispute over Kashmir. She writes, "It was wonderful to hear questions from people who, like me, obviously have some interest, but not many clear facts, and to get reliable, unbiased answers. Sometimes the questions you news junkies ask are a little too esoteric for many of us. Perhaps this is a format you may want to consider in the future."
Brenda Harrell emailed us this correction to our report on Germany and World Cup soccer. "You stated that a reunified German team won the 1990 World Cup. However, that is not so. The team that won the 1990 World Cup was West Germany."
"We plead guilty as charged. The two Germanys did not become one nation until October of 1990, 3 months after the World Cup was played."
Finally, Hal Richardson of Denver takes issue with a poetic allusion in Daniel Shore's news analysis about proposals that Israel would build a 65-mile-long wall between itself and the Palestinian West Bank. People who say Robert Frost said good fences make good neighbors would do well to read the poem Mending Wall again. Frost's speaker and his neighbor repair the stone wall between their properties. The neighbor repeats an old adage about fences, and the speaker questions its wisdom, saying, "Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense." With the current turmoil in our world, we should all bear in mind what Frost was really saying in Mending Wall.
Our email address is atc@npr.org. Remember to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.